We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Tuesday. Your money and fast food chicken? Lines and chicken. There are always lines of cars with new fast food chicken places. Am I right? I'm right. In the second half of the show, we're going to get straight to the heart of Raising Cane's and its buzz. Talk about the new location in Brookfield with Kevin Ryan, regional leader of Raising Cane's and its restaurants. But first, there's no playing chicken with the economy. Dave Spano will join us. Markets, the debate's possible impact, fast food pricing, Apple's impact with its big announcements yesterday, rate cuts, and more of that coming up after the first break. But as we do each and every morning to open the show, two up. First up, $200 million reporting from JS Online and from the Greater Milwaukee Committee meeting yesterday. A study of local spending that was tied to July's RNC, the Republican National Convention, that was held right here in downtown Milwaukee. The study will not be completed until the end of the year, but Visit Milwaukee's top executive is making one guarantee. Peggy Williams-Smith, the chief executive officer at Visit Milwaukee, said this yesterday at the Greater Milwaukee Committee meeting. We will most definitely hit our $200 million impact number. Also saying the long-term benefits of the RNC, which drew more than 50,000 visitors, will be even greater by giving Milwaukee a global profile for meeting planners and others. Peggy Williams-Smith said this yesterday at the GMC meeting and also noted that Oxford Economics, based in the United Kingdom, has been hired to do the economic impact study for Visit Milwaukee that will be released later this year, by the end of the year. She also noted that the daily room rate during the RNC was just over $350 compared to $179 the previous week before the RNC. And this was according to CoStar, a real estate data provider. Next up, Nike goes sideways. Well, its logo does, at least. So a couple weeks ago, I took three 16-year-olds to the Nike outlet in Johnson Creek. We had a great time, but we had to wait in line to get in. Really good deals. But the reality is that Nike has become a pretty upscale brand. $100 for some of its dry fit soccer tops and other items, but only $33 at the outlet. So it's worth waiting in those lines to get in. New LeBron shoes are $170. Hoodies are $88. Anyway, this from Fast Company. Nike's putting a new spin on the swoosh. This season, the men's and women's teams in the European and Latin American football clubs will wear jerseys with the swoosh vertical rather than horizontal. Big picture, this is kind of slightly out of character for Nike, which has adhered really strictly, according to Fast Company, to its original swoosh design, always horizontal. The pivot, it's part of its new Together We Rise campaign, which celebrates the rising popularity of women's soccer. Something to keep an eye on for sure, because breaking brand guidelines can sometimes be a risky move, as Fast Company notes, but especially for a brand that has such an extensive history and fan base like Nike. But sometimes failing to make those expectations can make just the right splash and have a huge, huge impact. So it would be cool. You can take a look online, see how the Nike logo looks vertical. Personally, I think it looks really great. One guy who is always on brand, that's Dave Spano. He's coming up next with our market preview for the rest of the week and much more. This is The Upswing. We are presented by Horicon Bank, and you're listening to WTMJ.
That's money.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Happy Tuesday. Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management, joins us. Dave, how's the start to the week gone for you? Good morning, Dave. How are you today?
Excellent. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Great.
Good. Yeah. Right. Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful day.
All right. So September always seems to be like one of these in-between months for the markets, right? You got back to school. People are thinking about tax planning and end of year already. So if you could just describe the current economic landscape as a weather forecast as we get into fall here. What's it
yeah,
like
it's great.
For investors?
Yeah, that's funny. So, you know, we woke up this morning and it was 56, but it could be as high as 80. So that's a huge outcome, right, of what could happen. And that's kind of where we're at. If you think about it, you know, it's mild today, but there's, if it's got to be a weather forecast, you got cooling winds coming out of the north, right? So this cold front is headed our way. And, you know, if it does cool, does it cause a thunderstorm, right? How's that for a weather forecast? And the reason why I say all of that is because, as we know, inflation has cooled, but unemployment is going up. And that is a cause for concern for a lot of economists, because we were as low as 3.4, and that is a low unemployment number, but has risen to 4.2, and some people, some economists, believe that it could go even higher, and that is the cause for concern.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about this offline via email. Wall Street Journal had this really interesting piece about the state of the Americans' wallets today. You know, what's in our wallet, how much our bank balances are, what our regular car payments are. Was there anything in that was really surprising or alarming to you?
Well, you know, when you look at numbers, numbers can be deceiving, because the way I look at it is we have had a recovery. And, you know, people talk about what kind of recovery is it. Is it a U-shaped or is it a V-shaped? I consider this a K-shaped recovery. Hmm. What I mean by that, imagine the letter K. So you've got a letter, you've got a line that goes up and a line that goes down. And I think that's what we've seen as a recovery. So we've seen those who are on the lower side of the income scale, they haven't had the same recovery to those who have had assets. So when interest rates are low, asset prices go up. And so obviously the stock market has gone up, real estate prices have gone up, but you have had to have those assets to participate in that. And if you didn't have those assets, you certainly feel the pain of the economic downturn that we've seen. And I think, you know, part of this is going to be the debate that we're going to see. But that is the reason why I saw it. When I looked at those numbers and I read that article you sent me, Jeff, you know, it's hard to concur with that, because they took everybody and they put them in a big bucket and said, in general, things have gotten better.
Right.
But they're not better for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Averages and medians can you know, they can skew a little bit. The average credit card debt for those who carry a balance is up to $6,200 in the first quarter of this year, way more than 2019, too. And we've talked about that for several weeks. So what impact, you mentioned the debate briefly, Dave, and what impact could tonight's debate have on the markets? What do you expect to hear about the economy from both candidates? And, you know, maybe we can do this when we come back, but I'd love to hear, like, the Dave Spano one money-related question that you would ask of each candidate.
Yeah. So you cut me off if we have to go to break, but there's so much that goes into that question, right? So first of all, you know, you think about what has happened over the last, you know, 35, 40 days, from, you know, an assassination attempt to the removal of the Democratic candidate to, I mean, there's just so much that has gone into that. So it is high stakes. And the reason why I point those things out is the market has taken this in stride. You look at, other than that blip that we had over the last couple of weeks, the VIX, which is a measure of volatility, has been pretty calm. And so it has taken it in stride. However, if, for example, Vice President Harris hits it out of the park tonight, then does that suggest that we will have much higher taxes? Because that's, you know, part of her platform. And when you have much higher taxes, and that is what's proposed, not only higher corporate taxes, higher capital gains taxes, you know, estate taxes, you know, international, all of these things will have an effect on the profitability of individual companies, especially publicly traded companies. So there'd have to be an adjustment down if she would win, and of course the Democrats would carry Congress as well, because you need both of those pieces. So those are the things that are of concern. It's what the market's going to be looking at, because they have to put in all of these policy decisions, both inflation, economics, tax policy. The markets do look at that, but I am really surprised that there has been really no movement in the VIX, which is a measure of fear, over the last 60 days. We have not seen that.
All right. Dave Spano, CEO of NX Wealth Management, joins us. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Does a typical voter understand the term soft landing and what it means for the economy? We'll talk about that and much more when we come back. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. So, Dave, if you had the opportunity to ask one money-related question to each candidate at tonight's debate, what would that be?
Yeah, for sure it would be something that would be important to our clients, and that would be, where do you stand on taxes? Obviously, Trump is talking about lowering taxes, or at least renewing the tax act that is in place, versus Vice President Harris, who's talking about significant tax increases. So I do think that is an important piece, and I think those who are around here should really pay attention to that, because, you know, people vote their checkbook as much as they do everything else, and the economy and inflation should be top of that. And so local voters, think of this, folks. It's a 50-50 country, right? And in 2016, the difference in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin was just 77,000 votes. And you think about 330 million Americans, it's a very, very small number. In 2020, it was even smaller. It was just 65,000 votes. And so those folks in Wisconsin have to look at it through the prism of what is good for you, what is good for your pocketbook, and do higher taxes and more investment mean better scenarios for you as a Wisconsinite, or not? You know, manufacturing has been in a recessionary environment for 20 months. Wisconsin is a manufacturing environment, and that's the reason why we have to look at that and say, what is going to be better for my checkbook, for your checkbook, and as a voter, that's what people have to look at. So I think tax, regulatory, and tariffs are all part of the economic questions that I would ask.
Yeah, great. And as we power through the political season, do you think the typical voter understands soft landing? You don't really hear the term hard landing, because that's bad. That's the recession. But do you think the typical voter understands that and where we're at with monetary policy?
No, I think in general people know that a hard landing is a recession. I think it's almost a misnomer, right? A soft landing versus a hard landing. It is really a recession or not a recession. I mean, that's really the question. And I think if it was reframed that way, I think people would understand that. But if you think about the fact that if we do have a recession, what happens? I mean, there is a panic that happens because the markets adjust sometimes 20-25% down. People could lose their jobs. I mean, there is economic impact for certain if we have a recession. So the Fed, right, the monetary policy that you're talking about, they've kept rates high. Now they're going to lower them on September 18th. It's just a matter of, is it 25 basis points or 0.25%, or will it be 50 basis points? And that conversation's happening. The fact that 50 basis points, the likelihood of that has gone up. It's still not the base case. It has gone up. And so folks are going to have to say, is the economy slowing more than we think? And does the Fed have to do more cuts? Because the rest of the world is doing it. You know, the ECB is on their second cut. Canada is on their second cut. So generally, we lead that. We're behind on this policy right now. So, you know, nobody wants a recession. So the Fed should get aggressive. They're at 5.5 on the upper end. The Treasury markets is way below that, 3.5. So they have a lot of cuts to do over the perhaps next 2 years.
There definitely doesn't seem to be a recession in the iPhone market. Yesterday, yeah. Apple released details on its new iPhone 16 starting at $799. The larger size is going to be $899, Pro model $999. How do the Apple events impact and move markets in the economy and even our mindsets with money, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, years ago, if it was good for General Electric or General Motors, it was good for the economy. I think if it's good for Apple, it's generally good for our economy as a whole. And so this new phone, which is getting rolled out, is cool. I mean, there's crazy things on there like biometrics. You know, this could sense if you're having a grabber or not, or right. Or you can go to an airport as you do with the TSA, and it'll tell you if it'll take your picture and line you up. But yeah, AI is going to be part of that. Not quite yet, but it's going to be AI compatible. The conversation you're going to hear, though, is does their applications disintermediate a number of other applications and that are on the phone. So yeah. That'll be an interesting conversation. But
lots of ways for Apple to further monetize it, for sure.
Yeah.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The Milwaukee area's second Raising Cane's restaurant opened last week in Brookfield on 126th Street and Capitol Drive. It's the fourth in the state of Wisconsin, and the southern-based chain is locked in to add in more locations around the entire state very soon. Baton Rouge, Louisiana-based chain added 80 locations around the country last year, and according to Bloomberg, the company did $2.3 billion in revenue from January through June compared to $1.7 billion the first 6 months of last year. It's a pretty unique success story. The fast food world, kind of given its limited menu, if you've ever been to a Raising Cane's, it's basically chicken fingers, waffle fries, coleslaw, Texas toast, and sauce. Different combos. You can order the big tailgate options, but it's pretty simple and straightforward. That simplicity, I think, has kind of been a key driver to the chain's success, but I wanted to learn more. So Kevin Ryan, the regional leader of restaurants from Raising Cane's, joins us this morning. Kevin, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. It's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So the lines at the new Raising Cane's out in Brookfield have been pretty ridiculous. What's the Brookfield buzz, and why is it always around chicken? You know, like, burger places don't open with lines like this.
Well, I think it's we are blessed to have the traffic that we have. I can't speak for anybody else, but our openings tend to be pretty big, and I think it goes into all the work and into being part of the communities when we get into them. So it's been an awesome time getting the restaurant open in Brookfield. It was great getting Greendale open. The community has been more than welcoming, and man, it's been an awesome few days getting that restaurant open.
Cool. So Raising Cane's tends to target to areas near college campuses. That was kind of the upstart model, like State Street location in Madison near the University of Wisconsin. You know, what's different in pursuing more suburban locations?
Yeah, we've always been about serving high-quality chicken finger meals and creating that vibrant community-centered experience. And regardless of location, you know, we started out at the north gates of LSU, so we started out on college campuses, and we've seen really great success near college campuses. Mm-hmm. But there's always naturally a lot of energy and foot traffic, but our move into the suburban areas really allows us to connect with families and local communities in a much deeper way by offering a family-friendly atmosphere that really resonates with all ages. So it's been great.
What's the strategy when you look at locations? Is it to be aligned in high population centers next to places like a Chick-fil-A that may be closed one day of the week? Like, what's that strategy when you go into suburban locations?
Yeah, we just want to be part of a really great community. We don't look to see where anybody else in the industry is opening. And you know, obviously, we're looking for good locations with good traffic. But more importantly, it's just being a part of some really great communities. So we've got real estate teams all across the country that are looking everywhere. So we're always looking for great locations.
So how's hiring been, and has it been easy to find the workforce that you need here in Wisconsin?
Man, hiring's been great. We have an amazing crew at both restaurants, and especially, you know, out there in Brookfield that we just opened. We are named Best Place to Work by Glassdoor, Forbes, USA Today. You know, we offer competitive wages and benefits to prospective crew members. We offer competitive crew benefits, including flexible schedules for all the crew, and weekly paychecks, which is a huge deal for the crew. So in addition to that, crew can also make an extra $2 per hour within the first 12 months of employment, and they're eligible to receive a referral bonus, which is a huge difference and difference maker in us for the industry. All of that said, you know, we believe the culture in our place that not only draws in the great talent, but makes them want to stay. So we typically staff more than the average QSR to allow our crew flexible work schedules and foster an environment that really allows for a really good, proper work-life balance.
All right. Kevin Ryan, the regional leader of restaurants at Raising Cane's, joins. Kevin, when we come back, I want to talk about the timetable for the additional locations around the state. Ask a few pricing questions for you and talk about the management and ownership structure by location and what opportunities there are for managers to kind of grow through the ranks. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Lots of passion in the fast food chicken space, that's for sure. Kevin Ryan, the regional leader of restaurants at Raising Cane's, joins us. So, Kevin, where do you position Raising Cane's cost-wise? And especially as you kind of continue to source quality ingredients, but price increases are coming. How do you manage that day-to-day within all the restaurants?
Yeah, look, pricing, all of that stuff, we've got a whole team that takes care of all that stuff. What I will say is we have an incredible value proposition for our customers and our communities, and I think that we have a significantly better value than a lot of places, and we've really stayed true to who we are and what we do. So I would say that our value is just top notch in the industry.
All right. What about the brand consistency across all locations? And price is obviously about the same at all locations. I'm looking at the box combo. If I'm going to order that online right now, you get four chicken fingers, you get the fries, you get the sauce, the Texas toast. It's like $11.79, which, you know, above that $10 threshold, but still a lot of food.
It is a full meal, that is for sure. And what I can say about, you know, the consistency across the markets and in the entire company is, man, you will get the same thing in every different restaurant across the company, across the world, quite frankly. You know, we do one thing, we do it better than anybody else. We've not changed our focus since we opened, and I think that really separates us from the rest of the industry in terms of different restaurants, and that we focus on one thing and making sure that we serve high quality chicken finger meals every customer, every time, in every restaurant.
We're talking with Kevin Ryan, regional leader of restaurants at Raising Cane's. Kevin, you had mentioned hiring was going well in Wisconsin. What's the management and ownership opportunity for managers at locations? You often hear about, you know, managers at food places being able to ascend the ranks. Is there that opportunity for equity and ownership down the road for managers at Raising Cane's?
So every restaurant is led by a restaurant leader. There's a best-in-class business unit team support system in the company that's local that supports the restaurant. But each restaurant's ran by a restaurant leader.
Okay.
And they have the chance to become a restaurant partner, and I would say that is a life-changing experience. They partake in profit sharing amongst other incredibly life-changing perks. Overall, the Cane's benefits in general are the best in the industry. They offer tuition reimbursement. We offer first-time home buyer program for, you know, we get $10,000 towards closing costs for first home for restaurant leaders. There's additional pay possibilities. There's traveling trainer programs. So there's an endless list of benefits for all crew, quite frankly, and certainly restaurant leaders.
All right. So as you expand across the state and the country, you're looking at Eau Claire, Janesville, La Crosse, and then Oak Creek, Wisconsin. What are the time frames for each one of those locations? Do you have that information?
Yeah, we're looking to get Eau Claire open up in the next few months here. Janesville probably within the next 6 months, and then La Crosse will be towards next year. And we are always looking for, like I said earlier, we're always looking for great locations, and we're not just going to open somewhere just to open a restaurant. We'll make sure it's the right time and the right community, and make sure that we're ready to really insert ourselves into the community and be a part of it.
Does Canes look at downtown areas for locations, like entertainment districts for, you know, professional sports teams? Is that a model you're exploring?
We do. We've got all different types of real estate models, is what I can say. You know, for instance, in Chicago, we've got restaurants that are right in the heart of downtown, right on Michigan Avenue, right across from the Bean. Mm-hmm. We look everywhere. Absolutely.
All right. Finally, I got to ask you, I'm forcing you to eat a burger. Where are you going and why?
Oh, man, I would have to take our chicken sandwich. I'd take our chicken sandwich over a burger. I would, and that's not just me.
All right.
being objective, man. Yeah.
All right, very good. Kevin Ryan, regional leader of restaurants at Raising Cane's, new location in Brookfield, Wisconsin, now open. I appreciate your time this morning, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, have a good week.
Thanks, you too.
This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Regular segment we do on The Upswing called Try, Take, Buy, Try. Tonight is Rev Up. What's Rev Up, Jeff? Well, it's a local business competition. So my try is a shout out to everyone to support startups and small businesses in your community. Tonight at the Rave, Near West Side Partners, along with representatives from Marquette University and its partners, are hosting the 7th annual Rev Up MKE competition. Essentially, it's a Shark Tank-like style small business competition with a goal of adding to the vibrancy of the commercial corridors just west of downtown Milwaukee. The program provides an opportunity for startup entrepreneurs to expand or to start a business, and they receive the support they need to make it successful. The winner at tonight's event will be announced live at the event and will receive significant resources to support their new venture, which will be located just west of downtown Milwaukee. $10,000 cash gift, $25,000 in in-kind services, and then advertising recognition and support from the anchor institutions in the area just west of downtown Milwaukee. Lots of local brands have launched here, including one that you probably see all over the area, Pete's Pops, a huge brand that is in festivals and events all around southeastern Wisconsin. Someone asked me this yesterday, said, Jeff, what's your route to work? Well, maybe I'm driving the wrong way. Maybe you're driving the wrong way to work. Maybe we all are. That's my take. Find a new way to drive to work or wherever your regular destination is each and every day. It's good for you. It's good for the local economy. Exposes you to new places, new restaurants, and new people. Sure, it's easy to take the same route each and every day, but I'm going to say, shake it up. That's my take. Bye. This is a little corny, but it might make you healthy. My mom's a nurse. I'm not a doctor. My mom is a nurse. We all need creative, low-cost ways to tackle this inevitable cold winter season that's coming. For me, $6.99. Really super easy nasal saline solution. All right, come on, Jeff. Yes, nasal saline solution. Use it each and every day. You can probably find it for cheaper than $6.99. It's super easy to use. Kind of helps flush out the pollen and the dust. Keeps you healthy. Makes you feel good. That's my $6.99 simple saline solution for the day. Finally, just a couple other things that I'm seeing. MATC is growing, and its new president, Anthony Cruz, is hard at work in his first year. Cruz replaced Vicky Martin, who announced her intention to retire last September after 35 years in various roles at the college. MATC, according to the Milwaukee Business Journal, is looking to spend more than $2 million to expand one of its downtown Milwaukee campus buildings. And another project, 74,000 square foot space, the Walker's Square Education Center, at 816 West National Avenue on the city's near south side. The estimated cost of these two new projects at MATC would be $2.18 million, according to documents prepared for the Wisconsin Technical College System Board, which will consider the request at the meeting today and tomorrow. Finally, construction is beginning at the Versity Blood Research Center Institute, located at 8727 West Watertown Plank Road, out at the Milwaukee Regional Medical Center. They had a big groundbreaking ceremony today at 10 a.m. The expansion is a state-of-the-art 79,000-square-foot addition that will nearly double the research capacity, add 100 new jobs, and generate an estimated $19 million in additional tax revenue for the state of Wisconsin. Good way to end the show. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman.